Off the Ball, GAA.
Somebody's going to win and somebody unfortunately is not going to win. And we had a lot of days against Armagh. They're very, very special.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name's Rory O'Hagan from Off The Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss what was a big morale-boosting win over Ulster. Much-needed win for the Reds as well, and it sets them up very, very nicely for the clash with Benetton in Cork. Make or break stuff at Virgin Media Park. A lot to discuss over the course of this podcast. First though, Quinny, Fiona, how are you guys? Good to see you as always.
Good, Rory, good. I'm just about recovering from, everything rolled into one with the AIL, then I went to Portugal, and then sure, we were up at the Munster game last weekend, and what an evening it was. We were all inside in the old suite afterwards. We were able to sneak into the suite, so I think there's something every day. I'm trying to give up the drink, but I feel like I'll watch this Benetton game now, drink free and enjoy it. But we had a great few weeks, and that atmosphere in Thomond Park was unbelievable. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't sold out, but I really felt the vibe, especially the love for Peter Manny. It was unbelievable to see.
You believe that, Quinny, that she's going to watch this match drink free in Muswell Park?
I'm not sure about that, Rory. But anyway, she's put a lot of work in all season with her team, so they were entitled to have a few nights out and a bit of celebration. But look, thankfully we got a performance from Munster. We said it was a crunch match. Ulster are obviously gone, having lost that, so Munster would have been in the same position, maybe a slight chance of other results going their way, but to keep it in your own hands, it was an important win. And to score six tries, I think it was kind of a crazy first 20, 25 minutes, wasn't it? And lots of mistakes and lots of porous defence, but thankfully the second half was solid and robust, and they got a good performance. There's still some issues, of course, set piece, the scrum 75% and line out 73%. So we're banging the same drum, aren't we? You don't sort your set piece out particularly. You nearly always get punished, but sometimes you can get away with it for a little bit. But particularly heading into the game on Friday and knockout rugby, I think with the threat that Benetton posed, I think let's hope Munster can improve and get that right. I think Alex Codling is back in the building, I believe. And again, no magic wand, but a number of lineouts again were poor and lost. And the confidence is still, they still look shaky there. So let's see what happens at the weekend. I think Federico Ruzza and Scrafton, the two second rows, they're good operators in the lineout, so Munster will be challenged there. But anyway, look, we'll get on to Benetton in a minute. It was a positive result. I think one of the main positives for me was the ambition and the urgency and the energy. And they didn't drop their heads. Of course, there's all a few mistakes there. It was far from perfect, but 13 clean breaks as opposed to two for Ulster. That would indicate that the dry ground and maybe a little bit more cohesion and players coming back, obviously, in attack. That was positive. 23 defenders beaten, that evasion and contact. And look, the ball was spilled a few times and they didn't get it perfect, but I think they were trying to throw the ball around a bit. So I saw some positive signs around the attack, which, struggled against the Bulls, against Cardiff. There's times in the last few weeks that kind of strength that we've spoken about for the last two years was dropped off a little bit. So some positive signs there, which obviously when you're going to a 4G pitch in Virgin Media Park and you get one or two opportunities in this game, I think it they'll have to be taken. Turnovers won, a lot of pressure on the Ulster breakdown as well, which was good. So they're kind of the three big positives. Certainly need to improve. Solid team again, it's a very strong team, I think, and there's still a couple of players missing, but you hope when you get a performance like that where you can look at stuff on Monday morning and say this was really good. Of course there's lots of stuff that you can get better, but I think the cohesion word that I use a lot, hopefully that'll get better. And look, the players will know themselves. Like, this isn't a Benetton team that you've played before, and you know, Munster have dominated this fixture for the vast majority of times. This team is a very dangerous side. So they'll know this is a massive week for them. But, you know, it was probably nice for them to wake up on Saturday morning and knowing that there's a little bit of pressure lifted, and, you know, they dominated that game against Ulster, particularly in the second half, and there's a lot to be pleased about.
Yeah, Fiona, I'll get your view on the game there in a sec. But first, though, we've got a couple of comments reaching us.
Yeah, thanks again, guys, for the comments. So we'll start with John Carroll. What a performance from Pete. He leapt like a salmon for his try and could have gone in again for that one. He put Farrell in for an unbelievable servant to the club. Knockout club rugby, temperament needed from here on in. Hopefully a full Musgrave Park can drive the team on Friday night, and obviously sold out. So I'd say it will be people ringing me for tickets for Cork. It's never happened before. Liam Mead has, how would you approach fixing the line out in the short term? It has been plaguing us all season, and it will be hard to go far into the knockouts in its current state. And lastly, Julie Gleeson, a must win Friday night. Nothing short of 5 points will suffice.
Yeah, it's certainly make or break stuff for Munster tomorrow night. We'll get onto that in a bit, though. First, Fiona, like, what impressed you most about Munster last week compared to the previous week? Where did they improve most?
Yeah, I think Quinny said it really in the ability to not drop the head and not get flustered. So there were, I mean, when you sat down in your seat and then we saw Ulster go in early for that try, there was a little bit of an eerie, stressful feeling in Thomond Park. But just watching how these guys went about their business, I think for me, even being in the stadium, soaking in that atmosphere, I think that Tadhg Byrne block down try was absolutely a turning moment in the game for me. For them to obviously be under pressure and then to just come up with that scoring moment, they knew themselves, guys, we have to lift it to another level. So I was really impressed with how they did that, especially Jack Crowley. He missed a couple of kicks early on, you know, and a couple of wayward kicks threw out the back door as well, and it didn't go to hand. So I thought, oh God, he's under a bit of pressure, but he was able to compose himself and turn his game around. And especially in that second half, I thought he was really good. So exactly what Quinny said, that breakdown, they went after it. They tried to play some nice running rugby out wide. Tom Farrell, Nankivell were brilliant together in the centres. Again, how they're linking is unbelievable. So look, it's the composure impressed me this week. When things were going wrong, they kept their shape. They just, I suppose, stayed a little bit more connected in that ruck area than previous weeks, because they got such clean ball. I thought Casey was really good in getting it out when they didn't. So I like tries that were scored were unbelievable. But the main thing for me to see in Thomond was them not to kind of get nervous or look anyway shook after Ulster's early pressure, and to produce those tries then, and great performance, unbelievable. And they, you could see as well, Rory, that they were doing it for the guys that were, it was their last game in Tome. And, you know, as I said, when Ty blocked down, scored a try, there was a little lift, and I won't even get into how unbelievable it was for that Peter O'Mahony try. There was tears. Now, I did have a couple of beers, but I was roaring, crying. It was unbelievable just to hear the love of everyone around him and such delight. And even just simple Peter, you know, he didn't go yay, he absolutely slammed the ball down, even angry in that sense. And it was just unbelievable, and they lifted it for them guys as well.
Yeah, do you want to pick up on that there, Quinny, about Peter Manley's last game at Thomond Park and the emotion that he was obviously feeling playing that 60 minutes that he was on the pitch?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I think for him to get to try, it was a lovely moment, wasn't it? And, you know, he's given so much. I think back to my last game there against Connacht when I retired myself. It's really strange. It's kind of like you're amazed that, God, this is it. It's the last time I'll run out here with this jersey on with this team. You never know. Some people come back and play charity matches or whatever on the pitch and things like that. But yeah, it's just weird. But it's a nice feeling, and to finish off with a try like that was really, really special for him and important. But knowing Peter as I do, and seeing him as a young pup when he came on the scene first, I was still playing with Munster. He's a competitor. He's shown that. He's, you know, sometimes like he's close to that red miss that I would have had. He doesn't probably get in as much trouble as I've got in my career, but he has that kind of red mist as well, and he's always entangled up in some row or argument or some bit of pushing and shoving. But you know, that's what we love about Peter. He's so competitive, and he's been such a brilliant player for Ireland as well. But end of an era, and that's it. And for Stephen Archer and Conor Murray as well, it was nice that they signed off with a win. I daren't think what it would have been like. You can imagine, Munster lose that game, they're out of Europe, they're not making the playoffs. It would have been a horrendous finish for those guys in Thomond Park. But you know, they still have one game left, maybe a couple more if you know if they win on Friday. So they'll be focusing on that. And but it was a nice moment, and the crowd loved it, and they showed their appreciation for all three of them. And you know, as I said, the win was the most important thing, and that's what they wanted. But lovely to score a try like that as well.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic for Pete to round off his Thomond Park career. But he still has a big game back in his native Cork tomorrow night that we're going to get into in just a little bit. Fiona read out a text about the lineouts again, an issue 73% win rate from 15. I think that's 11 out of 15 that they won. It's still a massive, massive issue for Munster.
Yeah, look, and I know we're saying this every week, but this game in particular, I think the 11, you know, they were even lucky to win a few of them. There was an overthrow they could have caught. There was a non-jump, but someone got a hand up. So it was sloppy in general. You could have been looking at around the 50-60 mark, I think, if they hadn't gone to hand. So it must be very, very frustrating. I suppose on the positive side, Codling is fully back in now, because the Women's and the Six Nations is over, and I know they're even on a down couple of weeks as well, so they're not doing anything. But certainly it's very frustrating. The question was, what's an easy fix? Sometimes, you know, in when I'm coaching, it's very easy for me to say I might shorten things down because then you've less people going against you. But Munster did that, you know, they even threw to the front without going up in the air a couple of times, and it just doesn't seem to be working. And Quinny alluded it to it last week. It's now at a real confident stage. So whatever you're doing, sometimes if you know it's a confidence thing, it's not working out, or even a couple of calls because the confidence is down low, you get so flustered and frustrated and in understanding what the call was or if it's changed quickly. So I think if they're going to do something this week, I will be imagining in that they spend a little bit more time on the line out, try and build that confidence, get them really going against each other, have two packs going hard, looking for where the space is on the video. But certainly I think for Munster at the minute, it's the shortened down line outs that are, I suppose, are the ones that they're almost guaranteed if they're getting in and getting up quickly. And a couple of times against Ulster, which was really good to see as well, they had the confidence to go to the back. And when they go to the back and they nail it in that space, it is really good. It's just that if they throw or if they're picked off by a jumper, that's when they get into trouble because the ball is in the air for a longer time. So look, Quinny will obviously have a lot more to say on that, but certainly they need to get their confidence up. It's now been acknowledged for maybe 6 weeks in a row, six games now, so you know opposition are really going to target you. So you have to come up with something that they haven't seen on video because they're really going to be analyzing it a lot.
Yeah, Quinny, I can't remember a podcast where I didn't ask you what Munster's line-out issues. Like, can they improve dramatically in the space of a week going into tomorrow night's game? Are we expecting more of the same tomorrow?
Well, I'd be still concerned about it because there's been a pattern of this over a period of time. It isn't kind of a once-off game that you've lost a number of lineouts and that you can, you know, reprogram quickly. I know they've been working on this for the last few weeks, and obviously it's small tweaks, it's timing, it's throw, it's lift, it's speed of movement, all that kind of stuff. There's some lineouts that I would have had when we played that your banker lineups that are really hard to defend against. You'll always have a couple of them, and I just think they have to find some of those ones that are just hard to pick off, and they execute them well. I think if you want to play attacking rugby, winning at the front of the lineout is depends where the game is at. Obviously, if you're protecting a score and you want to try and maul a little bit, of course the most important thing is to win the ball anyway. There's no point in taking risks thrown to the tail and losing it. So getting that balance right. So look, it's It's a tall order. Benetton will put them under a lot of pressure, and if their percentage in the lineout is high, and win percentage is high for Munster, there's every chance they're going to win this game. If the percentage is down to 60, 70s again, they're going to have problems because, you know, they want to keep the ball and try and dictate the pace and tempo against a very dangerous side who attack a lot as well and have some real game changers. So I hope so. I hope it's better this week. I hope, you know, you don't just go from last week's work to this week and go, God, we have to change. They've been working on this stuff over the last couple of weeks to try and get it better. And you will hope it clicks into gear a little bit. Who knows? We'll wait and see. But yeah, they've got to hope that it's right and the players in control of that, where they call and the timing of everything that goes on around the lineout.
Just a quick word, Fiona, on Tadhg Byrne, who had a tremendous performance, obviously named as a Lion. He had 13 tackles. He won two turnovers even. Seen suggestion that he could make the Lions starting 15 on his form.
Absolutely. I would be aggrieved if he didn't. He's, when you look at every game each week when we're chatting on this podcast in particular, because we focus on Munster, he's always in our thoughts of start of the week. Sometimes you don't want to give it to him because he's getting it so often, himself and Tom Farrell, but certainly he is the type of player that comes up with huge moments. And I spoke about that earlier, Rory. I really felt like that block down invigorated the team. It lifted them to see their captain do that and have the ability to chase the ball down as well. You know, there's not a lot of second rows who can have handling skills and kicking skills to get the ball. So he's just an absolutely brilliant player who comes up with these big moments and big, big things. You know, sometimes when you look at players, you know, you can see that when they play with Ireland, they have outstanding games. I think every time Tadhg Byrne puts on a Munster shirt, he has an absolutely brilliant game, sometimes way better than others, but he's just got the ability to turn over the ball, works rate is so through the roof, and his handling skills are unbelievable. And I think he's grown into this captain role as well. You could see, you know, even the way he talked to the referee at the weekend, there was a few things going on. You know, Quinny talked about there was a bit of argy bargy there near the end as well. It was great to watch. And Tadhg Byrne was in the midst of it, talking to the referee, what are you going to do about this, you know. So he's grown into that role as well, but certainly unbelievable player. And I would, himself and Itoje in particular, the two of them in that engine room for the Lions, it has to be starting for me. He's just stood ahead and above everyone. And I know you have someone like Joe McCarthy, who's a different type of player, but Tadhg Byrne is that back row, and you're lucky you can even play him in second row, because you now have four back rows on the pitch whenever he's there.
Well, that is it for this week's episode of the Red 78. To listen to the episode in full, where we will look ahead to a massive clash with Benetton, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.